All eyes are on Ohio, and the power of our votes has never mattered more for shaping the future of our nation and stopping radical Bernie Moreno's extremist agenda from rolling back our rights. Our civil rights are on the line. Our reproductive rights are on the line. Our voting rights are on the line. Every single vote will matter this election. Vote to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Welcome back in, everybody, to an Overreaction Tuesday edition of Birds 365 after the Eagles blow it down the stretch and the Falcons get the win 22-21. Eagles move to 1-1 on the 2024 football season. Joined now by Chris Franklin from NJ.com. Chris, welcome to the show, man. How you doing on this Tuesday morning after a tough Eagles loss?
I'm still trying to process all what happened. It was all good just a week ago? Yeah. It felt like it was all good just a week ago.
It was all good at 1:45 left when Kellen Moore drew up a play to win the game, and there was a lack of execution. And to his credit, Saquon Barkley took full accountability. If you make that simple catch, Chris Franklin, none of these discussions are even happening. We'd be talking about the crappy pass rush and nitpicking, but nitpicking at 2-0 is a hell of a lot better than watching a collapse when your win percentage, according to Next Gen Stats, was, I believe, 99.3%. Where do you start? What's the biggest problem in that collapse?
I know that everybody is talking about analytics was good. Analytics is good. Say, hey, go for it at the time. But I think when you look at it, and I'm against going for a pass in that situation. I really am. Because I know you say, oh, wow, it's an easy catch, pitch and catch type deal or thing. I'm against it because I think, if you really truly believe in your offensive line, and they can say they're stacking the boxes or what have you, there's ways to get around stacking the boxes. This is where you need your creativity to shine in this moment. You can spread. We've seen so many bunch times. We see all these shifts in motion. Where is that true shift in motion? Why not spread them out? Why not try to run all tackle?
Motion. We haven't brought up motion. I'm glad you brought up. Why didn't they motion more?
Go ahead. You could have done that. Or you could have ran behind your two best. When you're running the ball, your two best offensive linemen to run behind are Landon Dickinson and Jordan Mylott. Just statistically, it's proven that way last year. It's starting to prove its way again this year. Why not run off tackle? There's something you're not running right at Grady Jarrett. But why not run off the tackle? I think that the decision to pass the ball was just asinine, in my opinion. I wouldn't have done that. And now you look at the fact that bad decision led to that drive. And now we're talking about a situation now looking long term. I know it's only week two, but you had a chance to go up a game over the 49ers and the Lions, two teams you will be fighting for.
And the Cowboys.
Three teams you're fighting for potentially. Now the Cowboys aren't for the division, but potentially for the one seed overall. And you literally squandered that away. You called a pass and squandered that away to get that early edge, which is important. And it only highlighted more. I'm sorry, I'm rolling here. I'm sorry. Talking about bad decisions, you look at it, just highlights the fact that you went for it on 4th and 4 in the first quarter. I don't care if it's the first quarter or what have you. When you look at the way that the mentality of sometimes you just want to say, you know what, they're a road team. We're getting up early. We just want to say the message, like, you know what?
I'm with you on the fourth and four. Kick the field goal or early in the game. I'm with you there.
This decision making, this pass rush, the questionable calls, it's just the tackle, missed tackles, it's just all culminated. That 2 minute just brought me, like, sent me back to 2023 all over again. It was just. Yeah, it was like that.
I hear you with, and we'll talk about the decision making with the coaches, but Since before you came on, you probably heard us talking a little bit about Jalen Carter. What the hell's going on with Jalen Carter? I get all the talk about Bryce Huff, but Jalen Carter's supposed to be the guy. He's supposed to be the superstar. Chris Lindstrom kind of handled him by himself for the most part. Pretty good player. But what, he didn't start the game, Chris? What was that about? What's going on with Jalen Carter?
I just think he's over-pursuing. He's getting a little too anxious, I think. There have been times where he's blown through a couple gaps and he's going past the bypass and they run right behind him. I've seen that a little bit. I think it's also a byproduct of not getting enough production out of your edge rusher. Because we saw when Hassan Reddick was here, they would put one guy on one side, it would put Reddick on the left side, Carter on the right side, and teams could just go, you know what? We can't shift our line either way because you got to worry about both of them. Now, since you don't have a competent pass rush, especially on the Huff side, teams just go, all right, we know there's only really one true threat, especially in the middle right now, and it's Jalen Carter. Shift the line that way. We're not going to let him beat him, and anybody else can't do it. It's his problems with pursuing. Yeah, that's correctable. I'm worried about more of his pass rush because when you look out what's available out there, unless you can swing a trade, it's going to get a lot worse. We might see a lot of blitzing, which against veteran quarterbacks now.
Especially with guys who can't blitz. He was very honest with us. Remember, I don't know if you were there that day, but he said, you blitz basically when you want to. If you blitz when you don't want to, you're basically in trouble.
They're in trouble.
They're in trouble right now. All right. I'm going to defend Kellen Moore a little bit, or Nick Sirianni, whomever. A.J. Brown's not out there. Saquon Barkley's having a great day. He's your best player. You got a chance to go win the game. They dialed up the perfect play to win the game. All he's got to do is make the catch, a simple catch for Saquon Barkley. He's been making plays all night, and he doesn't make the catch. At what point did we blame the players? And to Saquon's credit, he took accountability. I dropped the ball. I can't do it. Got to get, you know, all the Andy Reid-isms. Got to get better, all that kind of stuff. Let my team down, he said. I shouldn't have put him in that position. I need to make that catch. I need to relax, go back to my old habits, and go to work. If he can admit it, why can't other people admit it? Simple play, Chris. You played the game. Players got to make plays. He was in a position to put the game away, didn't put the game away. Why can't it be as simple as that?
Players can make plays, but also you can have coaches can make calls that are going like, okay, what have you. And there's times where players can bail out coaches from being players bail out coaches from back off. And I think that was the case. Like if he caught that, I thought that was more of that would have been a case that, but he didn't. So that just compounded the whole situation of this doing that. Even if he made that catch, okay, yeah, first down, we're not talking about this. Still question, like, all right, and then we got just look at the. I almost said something. I was going to say that one. Look at the gravitas on this team here to throw it in that situation and let your guys.
Everybody would have been so excited.
Yeah.
The aggression. They love the aggression when it works. I thought it was a good decision, but good decisions, as you know, don't guarantee good outcomes because you don't execute. And by the way, after that, Chris, there's no rule against the defense picking up Saquon Barkley. There's no rule even after the defense falters. There's no rule for Jalen Hurts to press the urgency button a little bit too early. He had plenty of time to try to get Jake Elliott into some kind of field goal position to take that shot down the field. So there's a lot of people to blame. Most of them aren't the coaches. Not to say there aren't that fourth and four in the first quarter. I'm with you 100%. That's dumb. That's kind of hubris. That's, you know, just take the early lead, get going, as you mentioned. Road team that struggled in week one. So I think there's plenty of reasons to, you know, nitpick the coaching staff. But the end of the game, to me, is not one of them. Other than maybe people have caught up to the Vic Fangio scheme. I don't know what they were trying to accomplish in pass coverage late in that game. Do you?
I don't know. I know they're the use of the even fronts a lot. I thought, especially in that situation, you go, you need to make a play. You saw all game that you weren't getting sustained rush, sustained pressure from your four, who would have saw it? Unless you would have said Thomas Booker was on the field. Now, if you had asked me that before the season, I'm like,
well, he's the only one making plays.
Yeah.
Nine snaps.
He left the damn defensive line and tackles Chris on nine snaps.
Yeah. You're thinking like, okay, if he's on the field, like, all right, maybe you have a shot. You're at that point where Mauro Ojolo had a good week last week and now Thomas Booker, and you just wait for your big guns to really start to get into it consistently. So you know you're going to have a pass, you have issue with a pass rush, and then we know they're going to zone. You give a quarterback like Kirk Cousins time to process everything and look down feeling. And he sees every coverage there is. So he goes, okay, I know I have this route here. I'm just going to pick you apart and methodically, surgically did that. That's what happens when we don't have a pass rush on the edge. And that's what happened and continue to happen again on this one too. So I look at the when you mentioned the whole Vangio, everybody's catching up to it. I think everybody has. And the one thing I think when you look at that scheme was, if you had Vangio, at least he'd be the guy that can make enough tweaks. Because I think when you look at all the teams trying to use it other places, they're just basically almost like copy paste. I'll try to change this one little thing, and hey, I made a tweak to the scheme. This is my scheme. You got the guy who originated.
Yeah.
Teams have started to pick it apart more and more now. And it only works if you have four that can make pressure, and you got the back end that can do a back end. The secondary, pass coverage wise, barring that Slade touchdown, which I know is a big thing there. I thought they played pretty well in coverage.
Yeah, they were okay. I agree.
Support, run support, that's a whole other issue. That's
the run support's bad. But no, just late in the game, the final drive, Chris. Why are they, you know, 65 seconds they scored. They had no timeouts. So
six plays, 75 yards, 65 seconds, and zero timeouts.
To me, you got to funnel everything inside, and they're playing they're not even making them take some time. Even if you give up a 20-yard dig or something in the middle of the field, at least the clock is ticking. But they're letting guys get it. It doesn't make sense.
And I don't know what it is about Atlanta Falcons, whatever, but they seem allergic to Kyle Pitts. So if you don't have to really fully worry about him toward the middle of the field at that part, so you really look at Drake London, Ray McLeod, Bijan going like leaking out doing a swing pass. Other than that, force everything inside, but they didn't do that. And
ironically, on the touchdown to win the game, Slay was playing Drake London where he should have. But what I would have done, he was guarded against the post. It was an option route, and Drake saw it and, you know, turned it into a corner. And Slay guessed wrong, and he was trying to. If I see 6'4", 215, I'm thinking post too. I'm thinking he's going to use that big body, you know, whether it's power forward, blocking him out. But he went the other way. So sometimes you got to tip your hat to the other team. I thought that was a nice adjustment from Drake London and Kirk Cousins. I did. You got to give the other team credit at some point.
You give credit on that play, but it should never even came down to a goal line that deep with only.
Your defense got
bent down in that way. No team with aspirations of going to the thing. It felt, you know, of all times, how many times did we make fun of the Atlanta Falcons for 28-3? Or just like making a drive, late drive, something like that. All of a sudden, like the roles flipped, like when the Eagles became the Falcons back then, they were playing the Patriots. Like, oh, okay, I feel good. I feel good about this. Like, there are so many. This is one of those moments. I know it's a good way to call it overreaction Monday, because it's week two. And yeah. It's still a lot of football to go. But to be among those teams, those elite teams that we mentioned early on, if you want to have a shot, you better get this correct as fast as you can. Because if not, you've seen how all of a sudden the NFC looks like it's deeper than we all expect it to be. And
starting this week, New Orleans is better than San Francisco or Detroit.
And
or
Tampa Dallas. Coming up right after that, who's looking pretty dang good right now, too.
Yeah.
And especially at the Saints game. Saints really something about. I think I feel better about the Buccaneer game. That Saints in that dome, without AJ Brown, with that defense the way it's playing right now, places another Shanahan scheme. He's sitting too well right now.
This Chris, offense, by the way, go ahead, Xander.
Chris, I want to ask about Jalen Hurts. I was hard on him in the first hour. Some agree, some disagree. I thought that decision at the end of the game, I thought he played a decent game. I thought that decision was egregious, just like I think you could have iced the game if Saquon makes the catch. I think he had a chance there to get out of there with the win, get in Jake Elliott field goal range, and take the game. They're 15 yards away from range. There's 25 seconds on the clock. It's first and 10, and you have a timeout. He forces the ball 25, 30 yards down the field, and Jesse Bates intercepts it. I thought it was an egregious decision by the quarterback there at the end of the game. Am I being too hard on Jalen Hurts?
Just got a free coffee with my EarnIFI points.
Your what?
The points I get with the new EarnIFI app from BP and Amoco. I got 250 for signing up and more every time I fill up or buy anything in the C-store.
Oh, can you use points for fuel?
Of course.
And discounts and deals?
On anything.
Oh, like chips?
Mm-hmm.
Sodas?
You got it.
The actual slushy machine.
Only what's actually for sale. But you do get double the points for the first 90 days. Just go to EarnIFIRewards.com to download the app.
Available at participating locations only. App content is subject to change.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I think it was one of those things where he's looking to try, like we hear sometimes, a lot of times when you go down the field, you're trying to get it to your best players in the field, where your best players on the field, you try to go to Devontae Smith. And I think that was a situation where you think he forced that into there, and that you didn't have to do it then. One of those things, like, it's almost like from up top, you can start to see, like, Bates knew. It's almost like teams are starting to see, like, okay, in this situation, he's going to force it to either A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith, which I don't know, but certain situations not. So I think that was a play that you probably shouldn't have thrown that ball in that situation.
Yeah.
I think the bigger thing I'm worried about is we saw him make an appearance in the fourth quarter, but before then we didn't see him all the way to the first quarter. Why wasn't Dallas Goedert running down the middle of the field or something like that, or trying to scheme him up too? Because he just disappeared in this offense all of a sudden. And you don't know what's going on there. I think he could have been vital, especially if your safeties are playing that well and that deep and playing that well on the outside. Dallas Goedert's a good weapon to use. We know his ability to run after the catch. So why not even take the safe route? Just keep on going like 10, 15 yards. You know how much this team can run, have practices, the spike downs and everything else. Find him in the middle of the field for about 10, 15 yards. You can get that. You know Jake Elliott's leg. Now, I know, like, going in that direction, I know it's close to the river and all that stuff, and it can be tough at times, but you're going that way. You see them kick, I'd probably say 55 yards. I think they would have been able to get a field goal if they continued to, like, manipulate the middle of the field there. There's just so many. That was another thing I think they could have done to get them in a better spot to win that game, especially in that position they put in.
Yeah. Offensively, boy, this team is different when AJ's not on the field. You mentioned him, and he's not going to be back. At least that's what he supposedly told Troy Aikman for a couple weeks at least. It's like pulling teeth when he's not out there, Chris. I mean, he's a great player. People should realize that. I think he's the best pure football player on the Eagles. I say it all the time. They got to do a better job persevering without A.J. Brown. How does that look? Is it Dallas Goedert? You just kind of mentioned. Jahan Dotson, non-existent. Paris Campbell. Why did you cut Patrick Johnson to get Paris Campbell up with that roster manipulation? That's going to be another Christian Ellis thing. Watch. Somebody's going to pick up Patrick Johnson. Probably five teams are going to claim him on waivers. Why? Because you needed Paris Campbell so bad to, I don't know, stand in as a scarecrow on potential offensive plays. Why can't this team persevere better when AJ Brown's not on the field?
I don't know. Honestly, I know he's one of the, he's the top three receiver in this league. So I don't know why they can't find a way to do better on this one. But this is where you start looking at the person. Like the fact that you had Britton Covey. This is not a knock against these guys. But that Britton Covey and Grant Cafetero looked a lot better than the guy that you got, like who got the ball, or especially early on, than the two guys you said the offense run through and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert. That says a lot. And that says a lot. You got to do a lot better in trying to find more ways of getting these guys the ball. I don't mean doing screen passes. There are ways you can get guys open. Maybe out formational. Maybe you put Devontae Smith in the background and try to get him that pre-release out there as well. So maybe you get, you use the things. Maybe you use two backs more to try to throw some things off. But Wayne can't do it, especially against good defense, especially, sorry, getting ahead to next week, but I think you see something similar with the Falcon defense. Teams that very good horizontally get that speed there. You're going to need to find a way to get push them vertically because they're going to take advantage. They're going to say, oh, you know what? AJ Brown's not on here, and you're just going to do a little like 15 yards is your max thing trying to attack it down the field. Oh, bring everybody up. You're going to stop Saquon Barkley and kill that at the same time. So they need to find a way to get these guys more creative. Wait, tell them more. This is, I know it's only week three, but this is going to be very important for Kellen Moore to establish himself and say, you know what? I know what I'm doing here as the offensive coordinator. I can really get these guys going in terms of.
There are so many things to complain about in this game that are obvious, but one that's not as obvious that drives me insane because we're 4 years in, Chris, and I asked Nick about it after the game. What the hell with these illegal man downfield penalties? Why do they struggle with it and other teams don't?
Timing. It's all timing.
Is part of it on Jalen Hill, like where they don't know what he's going to do with the ball?
Well, nobody can know. Right. The offensive line. Yesterday, I think it was Cam, because Cam was like a bat out of hell on both of his illegal man downfields. Maybe it's just he's new, obviously. At playing the center position, because he's just bolting out like it's a, you know, like it's a traditional running play, and all of a sudden they're RPOing it to Covey, and poor Covey's getting 9-10 yards, and they're getting called back, and everybody's saying, "Oh, he's averaging 3 yards a catch." Not if they stop going downfield.
Yeah, a lot of times it's all teaching, all timing, and for the Eagles' sake, I remember this when I think it was 2021 when they had the issues. When they were trying, they kept hitting it, all these legal demands outfield. What do it? Well, they moved away from it for a little bit, worked on it behind the scenes and thing, and then brought it back out.
Yeah.
I know you want your guys to be aggressive, trying to get downfield to get blocks. That's just a way where you just gotta go, you know what? Just hold your water just for a little bit. Cause you're not as a center, you're way further away from that play. And I know they're taught most of the time, it's just treat it like it's a run play. Off the line, just run downfield, treat it like a run play. That ball's supposed to be out. What a quick decision is bulking out. He's training more, like he's really trying to get out there, like faster than the other guys. Like, fall down to the half sack, they'll be fine.
Too quick, man. He's out there 3-4 yards, and they were all good calls to Nick's credit. He was like, yeah, the reps got him right, and they did. But it's a problem because you use the right term, it's teaching, right? And you know, the same thing with rub routes over the years. The Eagles are the worst rub route team in the NFL, I'm convinced. And that's all teaching. And then I start to look at the coaching staff because that's your job to teach these guys not to make it obvious that they're picking. And too often the Eagles have gotten into issues with that and the illegal man downfields. It's 4 years now. The teaching's got to be better, in my opinion.
I think the rub routes have gotten better. Because I think when you look at 2021, like almost like a basketball, somebody was trying to literally set a pick behind somebody.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? They've gotten better. I mean, when we look at last week, there was a rub route concept, mesh concept where they didn't necessarily get out, but somebody kind of threw their backside a little bit more and was like, hey, I'm not touching you. And they had to go around the long way and it worked out. Now you see it this way too. It's basically where you're back at the same thing with this RPO concept, which is a good tool when it's effectively, because Jalen gets in the rhythm, he seems so real comfortable with it. You need your offensive line. It's part of it's on the offensive line. Part of it's also on the back end with Jalen and everything else making it quick too. Not a lot, but Cam just needs to slow down a half second. That's all it is. And that's still, he just needs to rep it more in practice and make sure he does it in games. So you do it in practice, looks fine, but if you do it in games and all like that, then that's when you start concerning consistently can do over and over and over.
Chris, talk me off the ledge, man. Week two, overreaction. I'm concerned about this team. I'm concerned about the pass rush. I'm concerned about Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. I'm concerned about Darius Slay. I'm concerned about Jalen Hurts. I'm concerned about everything, Chris, coming out of week two. Talk me off the ledge. Am I overreacting? Will this team settle in and kind of find their rhythm?
The only thing I'll say about an overreaction, and I'm not even believing this one myself on top, when it comes to the pass rush, like especially when certain number zero breaks off. When you look at the big free agent signings, when they first got to the team, Javon Kearse, we all know how that ended too, but Javon Kearse, first 2 weeks, he didn't have a sack. Hassan Reddick, when he first joined the Eagles, first 2 weeks, he didn't have a sack, and then we know what he did later on. I don't see anything about that. I've seen if Bryce Huff's going to come out of that, but you know, that's the only reason I think if we were talking about like Xander, come back. So, there's more to life going on for it. I'll use that stat to you. I don't believe it right now, but I see that too. I look at that one. You're really starting to look at this team where this is going to have to be we don't have AJ Brown, it's completely different and scares you, but it looks like it's going to have to be a team that's going to have to play in a lot of shootouts this year and you're going to need your offense to win you the games, because if not, they're going to jump out on teams early, which is why you kind of should kick that field goal, but you need to jump out on teams early so that way you can try to at least get some semblance of a chance to get try to get past with a fixer or whatever. So I got nothing.
Yeah. there's an argument. I think the play call worked. So ultimately, you're trying to win the game. You're competitive. I do think there's this mentality. And make sure you follow Chris at C Franklin News. I know you got to run, buddy. So I'll NJ.com or read Chris there. The idea of just running the football twice on fourth down, even if you don't get it, and Atlanta's backed up. I see a lot of people jumping on that bandwagon, and I get it. You probably win the game, just like you should have won the game. But I don't know. Why does everybody turn into Mr. Conservative? I don't think that serves you long term. Like, I think if you go let the players win the game, it serves you better than, oh, let's stick my head into the line twice and bleed the clock. It probably accomplishes that, but am I wording this correctly? You get my sentiment. Trust the players, let them go win the game. Don't be conservative, especially when you think you're a really good team.
I think against a team like the Falcons, who you would arguably say, even with Judon and Grady Jarrett, you have a better offensive line. You need to assert that will against them and say, you know what? I trust you guys up front. I think I look at the way that Barkley was running. I look at the way that this team was using the rushing attack. Even if you ran a naked bootleg, it hurts. Get everybody flowing. You know everybody's going to be anxious. You know everybody's going to try to float the ball. Come up with something different. But I just don't think in that. I still think with this run game, with the running back that you paid all that money for, with those offensive linemen that you paid a lot of money on extension-wise, on the edges, at the tackles, and the one guard, Lane Dickerson. Those guys should be able to in that situation. Even if you get with this line and that running back, if you can't get 3 yards in those situations on two chances, I think you have a bigger problem than what you have. And I think with the way to do it, they would have picked it up, kept it in the middle. Everybody's laughing. Ha, ha, ha. We take the knee and we see all this stuff. And Daquan finally gets his first win in the link. And we see all the things. Oh, look at this. Kelce runs down the field, blah, blah, blah. But you didn't do it. You didn't trust your line. And now you're sitting there going,
I was told by Howie, Chris, to be fair, I was told by Saquon was here to be a weapon. Weapon includes the passing game.
You had a nuclear deterrent and you didn't use it. And that's what happened. You did.
Nice. I like it. At C Franklin News.
At C Franklin News. Make sure you guys follow Chris. Does a great job for NJ.com. Chris, you failed to talk me off the ledge, but that's all right, brother. I don't know if anybody could today. Thanks for joining the show today, man. We'll talk to you again soon. All right, brother.
No problem. I'll tell tales of your compassion. Don't jump. There's more season left, man. But yeah, it ain't too good right now.
And by the way, Brandon Graham's gonna have plenty of energy. I guarantee it.
Oh boy, I can't wait. Phil Abundance. I can see it right now. Yeah, it's gonna be fun. It'll be good. Thanks, guys. You have a good one now.
Yep, there's Chris Franklin joining us on Birds 365. Great stuff from Chris Franklin. Thought he brought some good context. Disagreed with your point on the play call. Look, John, you know, I'm struggling with that one because I see both sides. I see what you're saying. He makes that catch. Nobody's having this convo, but I do wonder with the risk reward analysis of it, where it's like the reward is you win the game, but the risk is you leave that much time on the clock. You don't, you know, they have zero timeouts. The clock was going against the team. I get from the perspective of if you're a coach, just make the decision that puts your team in the best chance and live with the results.
There
was a bigger risk to the play they chose. And ultimately,
I think there's a lot. Look, 16th, and here's the biggest thing. 16th drop since the start of the 2021 season for Saquon Barkley. The most among any NFL running back. So I get the philosophy that you should just run it. And if it were me, I would probably just run it. But I'm not the one who blows smoke up your asses and thinks this is the greatest player in the history of mankind. And by the way, to his he was playing very well in the game. And he had successfully navigated that exact same play and almost had a touchdown. Was ruled a touchdown, then overturned because his knee hit the ground, and that turned into the tush-push touchdown. But 16th drop since 2021. So it's probably not going to be the only one you see this year.
All eyes are on Ohio, and the power of our votes has never mattered more. For shaping the future of our nation and stopping radical Bernie Moreno's extremist agenda from rolling back our rights. Our civil rights are on the line. Our reproductive rights are on the line. Our voting rights are on the line. Every single vote will matter this election. Vote to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.